Hi, I'm Janelle.
And I'm Monique.
And welcome to Is Marriage Worth It?
We are just two single chicks, girls, women.
Anything but females.
Trying to figure out what marriage is like and is it worth it?
I'm assuming the best place to get the answers is from married people. Maybe engaged people, newlyweds, and even other singles.
Each episode, we will have a guest answering different questions we have or that you may have about marriage.
Join us as we try to figure out, is marriage worth it?
And if it is, I wonder if my future husband or yours is listening right now. Hi, I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And welcome back to another episode of
Is Marriage Worth It? This week, we have a much requested guest, my mom. I've known her my whole life, and I think I get my great smile from her. So, welcome, Mom.
Thank you, my dear.
Let's get started by having you tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, my name is Esther Harry. I'm a mother of three, two girls and one boy. I now live in the state of Illinois. Previously, I moved from New York, New Jersey area because at that time my husband got a promotion and was moved over here. So we all moved here. So I've been in Illinois for 25 years. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, so what is your marital status?
At this time, I am a divorcee.
Okay, and how long were you married?
I was married for 35 years.
35 years. So we are going to take it back to the beginning of those 35 years. How did you guys meet?
At the time, I lived in Maryland and went to New York. The girls, their father was living in New York at that time, and went to New York to visit because I had family in New York. And we met up at a party around Labor Day. And in New York, it's a big celebration. Labor Day is a big celebration. So we met up at a party and we exchanged numbers. At that time, cell phones weren't a big thing. So it's your house phone. So we corresponded, you know, through phone. And then he invited me back to New York for some of the something that was happening. And I went, I met his family. And at that time, he just met my sister and her children. And, you know, we had a good time. Then in 1982, he asked me to marry him. And we got married in 1982, December the 15th.
How long were you guys dating before you got engaged?
A few years, a couple years. I would say 2.5 years, approximately 2.5 years. So I would travel back and forth from Maryland to New York. And a couple times he did come to visit me in Maryland. So, yeah, but I did most of the traveling going towards New York. Okay. Because I had family there.
Okay. So. So how did he propose to you?
Oh, we went to Windows of the World. That was in the World Trade Center. That's no longer there. That portion of it is no longer there, I understand. And we went out to dinner and had a real good dinner. And during the whole process, you know, close to the dessert, he proposed.
Had you guys talked about marriage prior to this?
Sort of. Yes and no. I was was in no hurry to get married, to move to New York, because that was the thing. That was my whole problem. I didn't like it in New York because I'd spent some time in New York and never liked it. So it wasn't my thing to want to marry this person and move to New York. So it was like, you know, mentioned, but not taken by me, not taken seriously. Yeah. I wasn't into that yet.
But you did say yes.
Yeah, I did say yes. Because I had an idea. I had a feeling, a gut feeling. When he said he made reservations for Windows Underworld of the World, that was going to happen. So I had to psych myself, to be honest with you, to decide what my answer was going to be. And I guess at the moment when it happened, the only thing that came to mind was yes. I don't want to disappoint him. See,
that is why I don't want a public proposal. I don't want to feel forced to say yes.
But it wasn't so public as such, because when you think of it, it was just two of us at the dining table, at the table. I mean, there were other people
at the restaurant,
but he is not, you know, that outgoing person. You know, your dad, he's not that outgoing person. So it wasn't like a spectacle that other people in the restaurant knew what was going on.
Okay. So like wait staff didn't know or anything?
I think he told the wait staff. I think so, if I remember clearly. That's 30 something years ago. So probably 40.
Probably.
When, well,
how long? 23. How long were you engaged for?
For two, like I said, 2.5 years.
Engaged?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you were engaged for 2.5 years for what?
Because, like I said, I wasn't prepared to move to New York. New York was not
this
on
is news to me.
My agenda, to be honest with you. I really didn't, because you see, I lived in New York for a brief time and I didn't particularly care for it.
Yeah.
So when I moved to Maryland, I love Maryland. I love Maryland, Washington, D.C. area. So to give that up. Oh, no, I'm wrong. We weren't engaged for that long. We corresponded for 2.5 years.
Okay.
And then I think we were engaged for like a year.
That's more reasonable.
I think it was a year.
What's wrong with a long engagement?
Because
long engagement makes sense, but 2.5 years feels like too long for a long engagement. Unless you have like a specific, very popular location that's booked out 2 years in advance.
No, we got married in Maryland.
Okay.
Yeah, we got married because that's the whole thing. My thing was not having to move to New York. So everything was done in Maryland. So all I would have to do after that is travel to New York to move and move to New York. So, yeah. I wasn't in a rush to go to New York.
Did you have a big wedding?
Yes.
How many people?
Over 150. Yeah, we had a big wedding. And all paid by us.
You and Dad?
Yeah. We paid our wedding. Because your grandma had died. Your granddad was here for the wedding, and all my siblings, with the exception of Auntie Hillary, she was not here, and Uncle Dennis. Those two were in Canada, so they didn't come for the wedding, because I had a December wedding, and that's winter time, so traveling, you know, was not.
Did you do all of the wedding planning? Did you have any help?
More or less, I did most of it.
Did your sisters or anybody else help you, or was it just you?
No, because I was living in Maryland. And
I know,
so a friend of mine, she helped, you know, she was my maid of honor. And so she and I did a lot of the work, even finding the dresses, the shoes, and, you know, and the white sister was in the wedding. So I had three, and Lisa was in the wedding. And so I had to find everything, send them pictures, and they agreed to it. And the exact color of the dresses, I got shoes to match. I mean, you would think this was planned.
So nice.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Can you imagine? This is like 40 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sending pictures of your wedding dresses is through the mail.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even like emails.
No, you couldn't.
So I'm like, that sounds stressful, planning a wedding with not everybody there. Just stressed
it
out.
It was, because I went to the shop. I took pictures of with my camera, not my phone camera, my camera, and put it in the mail and send it to his sister, and send it to Lisa, because the other girl, her name was Lisa also. So Lisa was right there with me. So she said she liked it. Mm-hmm. And so I took pictures, sent to Lisa, and sent to Lloyd's sister, Anne. And they responded back. And then one day, Lisa and I was just walking through the mall and saw the shoes. And she said, oh, Esther, look at these shoes. These shoes are exactly your dress shoes. So did your sister-in-law to be? And your niece said, yes. I said, well, even if they don't say yes, I would put these shoes. So we went in the store and told them to, if possible, could you hold it until the weekend? So because Tara mailed it, they would have gotten the mail, mm-hmm. and was able to call me on the phone.
Okay.
But landline was time. So tell me, yes, they like the dress.
So you just have to be at home waiting for people to call you.
Yeah, more or less. You tell me, call me at 8:00 in the evening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They call you then. So the wedding was very nice, very stressful to a certain extent, because you have to choose the flowers for the bride, for me, and then the flowers for the bridesmaid, and the boutonnieres for the men, and it's a stressful something. And when you're doing it yourself,
yeah,
it's stressful.
At that point, had he met like the rest of your family or any more family members? Because I know you said he met a sister back when you guys had first started dating.
Good. And two, the thing is, Lloyd is from Grenada, and my relatives, we are from, you know, Grenada. So one of my brothers, the one that I follow, he knew Lloyd.
Oh. Okay.
Before us getting married. And auntie and Uncle Oscar. Yeah, so most of my other relatives met him.
Prior to the wedding?
Yeah, prior to the wedding, because he lived in New York. Uh-huh. And auntie, Uncle Oscar, they lived in New York also at that time. So, they met him before the wedding.
Did you honeymoon?
Yes.
Where?
We honeymooned in Aruba.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it right after the wedding or did you wait?
No, we waited because of his work schedule in December. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get time off. So it was a few months later we were able to go to Aruba.
So what was the first year of marriage like?
Oh, it was the strangest thing. Because I wasn't used to sharing anything. I wasn't used to coming home to anybody. Because I had an apartment. I lived by myself. And because Auntie Verna had
left New York.
Auntie Verna had not moved yet. She had moved from Maryland, because Auntie Verna used to live in Maryland. She had moved from Maryland to New York. And then I moved in my own apartment. So, you know, I come and go when I want. didn't have to report to anybody, no ask, tell nobody where I'm going, what I'm doing. And I am a very, now I'm realizing that I'm a very selfish person. Yeah. I'm a very selfish person. I didn't realize that until now that I'm really realizing when I think back on things, I'm selfish. So, you know, to this new status, and two, I had a hard time signing my name without my maiden name.
Yeah.
So that's why if you look at my signature, my W is there, and then the H and a scribble. Because for the longest, I could not get that H to be my name. So it took me a while. It took me a while. And then, too, I had moved away from Maryland to New York. So that even took me longer. And I wasn't working. And that drove me crazy because I was used to working and, you know, taking care of me. And here I am waiting for almost like an allowance. It, to me, I associated with an allowance. So when he worked, he'd give me money to do groceries and extra, you know, for my own personal use. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't used to that. So I would, sometimes I would just cry. Yeah, it was really, yeah, I for the first year or so, I had that thing of not having that independence that I've been used to for so long. I was independent, and I could not handle it. So then it's after what? Because you guys were born in New Jersey. So Adrian was the only one who was born in New York. So Adrian was about 4 years. So I spent 4 years in New York. Well, and for those 4 years.
You got pregnant as soon as you got married?
Oh, no.
So
no,
it was longer than 4 years.
It was 4 years. Yes. Yeah. It, because we got married in 82 and Adrian was born in 85. Okay. So 3 years. So for 3 years, I practically did not work.
Was there a reason you didn't work in New York?
Because employment at that time, it was quite difficult. What you know, now the world is so fluid that you can work here and you move. So I had just moved from Maryland, and a lot of the places in in New York was financial institutions. Mm-hmm. So that's the area in which Lloyd was pushing me towards. So I, so if you don't have that experience,
yeah, it's hard to find.
It's hard to find employment at that time. Now it's a lot easier. So I would apply for places, and you know, they'll tell me, "Oh, you hear from us," and then you don't hear from them. So eventually, just before Adrian was born, practically probably a year before before I got pregnant, I found employment, and then I got pregnant. So I think what my problem was, I was stressed because I wasn't working. So the minute I started working, I'm now relaxed. And yes, I became pregnant after about a year of work. I got pregnant and then Adrian was born. So I stopped working again. But I had New York experience. So it wasn't hard after Adrian was born to get employment. Because I went back to, I started back with one of the companies I had worked with previously. And then someone in talking on the phone with them said, "Why don't you come apply over here?" And they'll offer me more money. So I did. Mm-hmm. And I got the job there. So
what was the transition from just being the two of you to being three?
Oh, with Adrian, I folks would call myself an agent, Esther and her little lamb, as Mary had a little lamb, because you saw me, you saw Adrian. You would not see me without Adrian. And I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy Adrian, you know, him being alone. And he was, what, 5 years?
Four
and a half. And I got pregnant with you guys. Okay, so almost five. Yeah. So with Adrian, I had Adrian alone for all this time. Mm-hmm. And we really had a good time, two of us. Wherever you saw me, you saw Adrian.
And Dad?
Well, your father started a job. And we moved to New Jersey then. Because he transferred to a company, another company. And when we were in New York, he'd worked for the state of New York. And then he moved over to a private company in New Jersey, which was paying him more and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So, and he was traveling back and forth from New Jersey to New York.
Okay.
And that's a commute.
Yeah.
I mean, just the distance and the traffic. It was quite a commute. So then we started looking for a place in New York, in New Jersey. And this is a funny story. We went to Pennsylvania to look for a place. And was it a Saturday or Sunday? Whatever day it was, they had a KKK march in the town where we were living, looking for employment for a house. We were looking for housing and they had a KKK march. And when I saw that, because I had never really paid attention to KKK folks or lived close to it, because in New York, I don't even know if they have KKK folks in Brooklyn or in Manhattan, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So when I saw those people, I said, oh, Lord, we are not going to look for a house anymore. We took off. We left and went home and promised never to go back to Pennsylvania. And it was right across the border from New Jersey. So we never looked for another house in Pennsylvania, even though they were cheaper than in New Jersey. We did not go back. And then we found the house where you guys were when you were born. We brought you guys home to Hampshire Drive.
So what was the transition from being a family of three to a family of five?
Oh, that was a transition. Because when it was three of us, Auntie took care of Adrian when I started working.
That's her favorite.
And so, you know, sometimes she would come in the winter months, she'd come and spend the night. And sometimes when I went to pick up Adrian, she'd say, oh, why don't you just leave the child? It's cold, yada, yada, yada. So I'll stay there, talk with him, play with him, and that sort of thing, and leave and go home alone. So it was a transition because you guys were born in New Jersey. And when we lived in New York, when we moved from New York to New Jersey, Adrian, he didn't have that thing with Auntie anymore. Mm-hmm. So I had him in a daycare. That's another story. I had Adrian in this daycare and he was four plus. And the school year was coming to a close. And the woman is going to say to me, oh, Mrs. Harry, we cannot accommodate Adrian any longer. So I put up my guard, ready to say to her, okay, let me hear the story now. What is it? Because my child is black? Because most of the kids were, all the kids were white.
Yeah.
And because in the area, we were living in Princeton, New Jersey that time. So she said, no, we cannot handle Adrian because he is over our capability. because Adrian knew his numbers, his letters. He was practically reading like four letter words and stuff like that. And he was very knowledgeable. So I said to her, so what am I going to do with him? She says, well, I'm going to give you a paper that you take to the school district. And they'll set up an arrangement for you to have him tested. So I did that. I took it, and they sent us to Rutgers University, right there in New Jersey, and have him tested. So the Saturday we went, they had him in a room, and Lloyd and I was outside. We can see in, but he cannot see us. So they testing him, you know, showing him shapes, which one is different. From animals, which one, and some of the animals, they really looked alike, but one may have like a tail or no tail or dots on it and mm-hmm. no dots. So what's the difference? Which one is different? And he did all of that. So after all was said and done, they gave us paperwork in a sealed envelope. So they said to us, oh, he did very well. But we could not see the results. We had to take it back to the school district. Mm-hmm. So we did that, took it back. They said, okay, he's socially and academically ready for school. That very said year, they changed the rules. You had to be 5 by September. Adrian has a November birthday. So I'm saying to them, now what are we going to do with this child? This preschool is not going to take him back. So I said, you telling me that he's academically and socially ready, so therefore you have to take him. Mm-hmm. So they said, okay, well, they'll get back in touch with us. So all I could think of is, these people going to tell me this little black boy ain't going to be able to get into school. Because, like I stated, we lived in Princeton, New Jersey, and that is predominantly white. So we waited, and finally, they called me and asked me if I could come in because Lloyd, your dad, traveled a whole lot. And so I went in and they said, yes, saying that he was born in that year, even though he has a November birth date and they telling them that he's socially and academically ready, they'll accept him in school. So I said, thank you, Jesus, because I don't know what I was going to do with this boy. And that time, I was working in New York.
Oh, okay.
I was living in New Jersey and working in New York. So I'm saying to myself, how am I going to do this? This child is going to go to kindergarten. I'm working in New York. He's a New Jersey kindergarten. I now have to look for a new job. Mm-hmm. So I was home. So when he started school in September, because the kids start in school after Labor Day on the East Coast.
Okay.
So before Labor Day, I had to quit my job. So I'd be home with Adrian. Then this lady, she said to me, one of my neighbors. So to come back around, one of my neighbors, work from home was in existence a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
Because she was working from home. And she said to me, what I can do is have the bus drop Adrian because he would, even though we were not too far from the school, the bus can drop him. And we lived in the same subdivision. She was across the street. So she'll be there to pick up Adrian. So then I said, okay, that would work. But then I said, no, I'm going to have to look for a job in New Jersey. So your dad found a job at his job, but in a different department. And they hired me.
Oh, nice.
So I was working there with them. And I worked with them until you guys were born. For June, my pregnancy was true. I was there. And it went well because she would get Adrian off the bus and I would come home. I wasn't working too far from home. So I'd come and I'd pick Adrian up and we'd go in and then I was pregnant with your kids. And so when you guys were born, I stopped working again. And the transition with you guys being born and Adrian, it was, because he was not used to anybody being there. He was used to him and him alone, him and I.
Yeah.
So when you two came, it took him a while to warm up to you guys. He'd always say, when are they going? When are they leaving? He'd ask when y'all are leaving. They're not going anywhere, Adrian. They're here to stay. Really? Yes, they're here to stay. So he would always question when you guys were going to leave. And then after that, we moved from New Jersey to upstate New York.
Uh-huh.
Another job that your father. So there I was again at home with three children this time. And Adrian was in school. Yeah, he was in first grade.
Yeah,
he was in first grade when to upstate New York. And me being home with two of you. Then it was fun when it was just the three of us at home, because he would be at school, and after school, he'd have activities and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So then I have to take him, because your father still continued traveling. And that's, I think that was the demise to our relationship, the amount of traveling.
Yeah, I remember him traveling a lot.
Yes. And so upstate New York, it wasn't bad. It was at the subdivision we were at, they had a pool, and I got you kids into preschool. just to give me a break, you know, mm-hmm. of having you guys, all three of you, practically every day, 24/7.
Yeah.
So, because like I said, your dad traveled. So I was always there with the three of you. And so I put you guys in preschool, and sometimes I would help out at the preschool.
I won't pretend. I don't remember.
No, you guys weren't even five yet. You weren't even 5 yet because you hadn't started school. You didn't do school up east. You did school here. You did kindergarten here. So you guys wouldn't even remember those things. Those days. But then his job again moved us to Illinois.
Did you ever have a say in any of these moves?
No, because it's his job. That's that afford us to live the way we lived. So how could I say
sounds like something he would say.
No. But think about
it. No, I mean, yeah, but
you had a good life. You Gates kids had a good life.
Yeah, but
because he worked and he provided. Your dad was a great provider.
Yes.
That much I can tell you. But
it wasn't the military. I feel like you should at least get a semi-say.
No. That's the job that paid the bills. It made you live the way you did. Okay? You had a good life.
May I ask, like, when he went for his work trips, how long were they? Were there days or were they weeks?
Oh, he said no one is paying him enough whereby he would stay away for the weekend. So he would come home either Thursday or Friday and leave Sunday or Monday. Okay. It all depends. So some days, even though he's going back to the same place,
mm-hmm.
come home either Thursday or Friday, spend the weekend, and go back. He never stayed away on weekends because he didn't feel he was being paid enough to be away from his family. But he did a lot of traveling in a month, maybe 3 of the 4 weeks.
Yeah.
He would have traveled. Yeah. And that's why I said, so my attention was all to the kids because that's all I had with me at all times, 24/7, 365. I had these three kids. So I would say to folks when they say, oh, I said, yes, I'm a married woman with a part-time lover. Because that's what it was. because that's how it felt. He would come home on weekends, and we'd, so on weekends, when he comes on the weekend, I've been cooking for these children all week. So we're looking to go out to eat. But he has been eating out all week, so he's looking for a home-cooked meal. So so there we were, me and the kids. The kids are that, especially Adrian. Dad, are we going to go out to eat tonight? When he comes on a Friday or Thursday and Friday, Adrian. Dad, are we going to eat out tonight? He said, no, I'm looking for a home-cooked meal. So then I have to cook. All week I've been cooking for these children. They're looking for an outside meal. He's looking for an inside meal. So yeah, and we had a good time in Rochester, New York, upstate New York. We did have a good time. And then too, I found a church. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jefferson Avenue Church in upstate New York. Those folks were really good to me and the kids. When we went to church, you guys were small. What?
Yeah, under five.
Under five, yeah. When we went to church, because they were twins, the members would take each, certain members would come and take the kids from me and have them with them during the service. So during the service, I'm free, you know. And then we'll go to their places to have lunch or so after church. And you would not know who the mother to these children were. Because I would bring books or toys. And these kids would sit wherever I put them. They would play with those toys. Adrian would watch over them like a hawk. And because usually they're kids closer to your age than his age. So he would sit there and play with them or whatever. But I would sit there and talk to people. You would not know I'm the mother for these children because they're there until it's time to eat. Then I would gather them, you know, and give them, have them sit at the table or so and eat. But other than that, these kids would never run or jump on anybody's furniture. I had no problem, none whatsoever. You know, I see kids today, they run about in people's homes and do things. Oh, I never had that issue with my children. And, you know, I think that was one of the things which I think about and I say, it's a good thing I was able to stay at home and take care of the children the way I did. And give them, you know, the security and the whereabout whereby mom is not going anywhere. You know, dad will travel, but mom is always going to be here. And in everything these kids did, I was there. In sports, at church, any activity these kids did, I was there.
Field trip,
everything, you name it. I was there because I didn't want them to feel, well, you know, dad works and mom also work whereby she can't even attend our programs or our activities. So I really put a lot of time in the kids. And like I said, I think that was part of my demise because I felt they didn't ask to be here. Therefore, I am going to make them feel appreciated, needed, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. I put my all in them and probably didn't pay attention to my own happiness because I felt happy with them. Mm. I was happy with them. I say to folks all the time, these kids have never given me any trouble. I've never experienced or had, you know, go to school functions and a teacher would say to me, oh, this child, oh, your children, everything. Oh, Mrs. Harry, they're such a pleasure to have in the class.
Janelle could talk a little less, but she's a pleasure to have in class.
Yes, you know, but it even through the whole schooling, mm-hmm. I've never had. Janelle went to school in Minnesota. And oh my goodness, you would think, well, she was the best thing since sliced bread. Everybody, you know, Janae, it's the same thing. I had no issue. Adrian, he's so charismatic. He's such a charmer. Even now, when you guys were in high school and I go up to the high school, Janae and Adrian had the same counselor. And when I go to see the counselor, he quickly starts telling me about Adrian. You know, he'd say, oh, Janae, yada, yada. And before you know it, he's on to Adrian. And I'd say, oh, Mr. So-and-so, I'm here for Janae. Oh, yes. And he'll get back to Janae for 5 minutes or so. 5 minutes is a lot. And then he's straight on to Adrian. So, you know, I've never had any problems or bad reports about the kids. So I think my whole thing was to give them a good life. Let them enjoy, you know, things. Let them have a good, and because of that, their father, he worked a lot and traveled a lot because his job required. Therefore, he was put on the back burner, more or less. Because, like I said, he was my part-time lover.
So when did you realize that it was maybe time to end the marriage? Were you the one that decided?
When the kids were finished with college, when they came home and was home from school, I felt it. There was no pleasure or any, how to put it? It wasn't, to me, it wasn't worth it. I felt it's best we go our separate ways. We both would be happier going our separate ways. Because the kids are grown, you know, they're more or less self-sufficient because they both, all three of them had little jobs. Excuse me. And I was working and I felt, okay, I've been doing well without daily support, you know, moral support. And it's best if I'm by myself. And like I said, I'm very selfish. I'm realizing more and more that I'm selfish.
So with that decision, did you guys have a talk first before you talked to the kids, or did you tell the kids and then go through with the process?
Well, I try not to get the kids involved.
Okay.
This is two adults. It's an adult decision. So, and I've never tried to influence the children about my decision because, like I said, it's adult decision. So I don't want them to have any animosity towards their dad. And I didn't want to influence them by saying, your dad this, your dad that.
Okay.
I have no hard feelings, no bad feelings towards their dad. And I don't want to influence them in any way. So they may say, oh, well, mom said, you know, not to say to him, but to say to themselves, well, mom says he did this to her. No, no, no. Whatever happened between us, the adults, I kept it to me, to myself. And when the decision was made, I just let them know, you know what? Mom is going to move on. And I think of all the kids, it seemed to have affected Adrian the most.
Yeah.
I think Adrian, he was mad with me or at me. because I never told him anything, you know, which he probably would have said, but okay, this is the reason why you're doing this. So he never got a reason for me, for my decision. Because I don't think I don't think kids need to be involved in adult decisions, certain decisions, because I've seen and heard of kids who've gone through divorced parents, and you hear their story, and I didn't want my children to have that story. Yeah.
It's interesting to hear you say adult business, and you didn't want the children to know.
Not that like I didn't want you to know.
In our mid-20s when this happened.
No, yeah, it's still, you kids were around me more than around your dad.
Yeah.
So I didn't want you to feel, well, okay, mom is, you know, she's not, I don't know how to put it. I didn't want to influence you guys in your feelings towards your dad. I really didn't want that. I wanted to do whatever feelings or whatever your thought process was, let it be your own influence. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Your own decision. You feel this way. Mm-hmm. You feel that way. But it's not because what I say or what I'm doing or what I've done.
Yeah.
I just wanted you, whatever happened, you made that decision.
How long did the divorce process take?
3 years? Three years. But we were separated. But, you know, I did it before. I moved away before the divorce.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how has life been post-divorce?
Oh, girl, it's a happy life. I'm back to not having to tell anybody where I'm going, what I'm doing.
It's literally full circle. Exactly. This is how the podcast started with it saying that.
It's so funny because she's told me stories of what she was like when she was in her 20s and living by herself, how she would eat popcorn for dinner and just kind of like whatever. And I'm probably going to date this episode, but like, girl, dinner is trending on social media, in which it's just like snacks or some random combination of food. That's what she has now. Like, she, the number of times she's just like, oh yeah, I just had, she's things that she's never fed us before, like saltfish and rice and spinach. That's her meal. I've never eaten that. I've never witnessed her make that. But all of a sudden, that's what she eats for dinner. She eats popcorn.
Yeah.
She's like
peanuts.
Roasted peanuts. And she'll be like, did you guys make anything? I'm hungry. No, we didn't cook either. Well, okay.
She'll just have some peanuts or some popcorn. Or yeah.
Meanwhile, we're having the same thing over here.
Yeah, I'm the happiest I've been in a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, it's full circle. But I tell you something, your question is usually, is marriage worth it? I would say yes. It really is. But it's a job in itself. You have to work at it. And I think, with me, it was me putting all my energies into my kids because their dad traveled. And it wasn't a consistent something like he's home for a full week, especially coming to when we were living in Rochester and when we moved here. Here, to me, it was the worst.
Oh, here he was gone a lot.
He was gone, yeah, quite a bit. So that whole thing was what caused, I would say, us to really drift apart a lot. Yeah, that traveling and being alone with the kids. So. And those of you who know me and know the kids, you always see the girls around me. You know, I remember when Adrian was playing
what you call it?
Baseball. One kid said to him, "Do you have a dad?" Adrian said, "Yes." Where's your dad? He travels. So people would look at us and figure, well, every time I see, it's only their mother I'm seeing. So we were at a concert at school. And one of the parents asked me straight up, she says, "Oh, is the kid's father around?" I said, "Yes, he travels." "Oh." So people never understood it. Because how could this one person be so traveling so much? But yeah, he traveled during the week, on the weekends. But when Adrian started playing football, he was a lot more involved, because football is on a Friday. So Friday night. So more or less he would come home Thursday so he could attend Adrian's football. Because I wasn't going to Adrian's football games. So at least somebody, one parent was at least there.
You would go to some in the beginning of the season.
Yeah, because the sun sets early later on in the season. So, So at the football time, those times Adrian was what, a junior, senior? Mm-hmm. And he would be there at quite a bit of Adrian games. But the girls, they ran track, and track is on Thursdays. And track is all over the place. And who was there? Me. I was the one there. So again, when the girls came along, went to the same school Adrian went to. So I guess the parents still said, "Oh, where's their dad?" But like I said, he afforded us the lifestyle we lived. Yeah.
Would you ever consider getting remarried?
Oh, no, darling. No way. You marry one time, different man, same story. No, no, no. Did you hear me say I'm the happiest I've been in a long time?
I know, but I'm just saying, hey. Well, would you consider dating? Maybe not marriage. No,
nothing, nothing, nothing. I'm happy, girl. I'm happy. I go when I want. I come when I want. Nobody to report to. I'm having a good time. I really am.
I had to ask the question. I just had to make sure.
Yes.
Oh, I've asked her too. Yeah. And this is the same answer she's giving me too.
Oh, honey, you marry one time, different man, same issues. No, no, no. I'm happy. But I tell you though, I would say marriage is worth it. But you just have to work at it and have a way of, you know, you two have to be on the same page, I would say. Because like I said, when he travels, he's eating out all week. If he's left on Sunday, so he'll get a Sunday meal home. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, he's eating out. And when he comes home Thursday night, he's looking for a home-cooked meal. And Friday, too. And we're looking to go out to eat. So we're on two different pages when, you know, of what our expectations were. So
you might have said this earlier, and I may have missed it, but did his job with the traveling start before or after you guys got married?
After. You see, when he worked in New York, he worked for the state of New York. So he was at home. But when he joined the private company, that's when the traveling started.
Okay.
And it just kind of increased over
and
years.
And it increased because his responsibilities, and he got promoted, you know, promotions. So his responsibilities increased. Yeah.
What advice
when we moved to Illinois,
what advice would you give to singles, those in relationship, or those that are married? You can choose one or you can choose all three.
Well, for singles, Adventist singles, I'll say to you, the word is true. Be not unequally yoked. And unequally yoked does not mean non-Adventist folks, because you can marry an Adventist and you're still unequally yoked because you're
foundation of your beliefs,
what your foundations and your beliefs are, could be so much different from what you marry. And also, Adventist youth, even though you find an Adventist young man, take into consideration his family. Because when you marry that man or that woman, you're marrying the family. And those who are already married, just have everything on the table, what your expectations are. What are you expecting or wanting from the marriage? And it doesn't have to be monetary or physical, because for me, if Lloyd's travels were not the way they were, I think we would have survived. But that travel, I think, was the biggest. And then I think we started drifting apart when the kids, the older they became, the less I needed, not to say need him, or my needs change. I would say my needs change as the kids grew older. So just have your goals, see where your goals are going from the beginning as early as possible. See what your goals are and where you want to meet. And those who are thinking about marriage, think hard and long. Think hard and long.
Alrighty, well, Sister Harry, I can't call you by your first name. Alrighty, well, Sister Harry, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule, of your happy life right now, to come and talk to us on the podcast. And I know you kind of answered the question already, but we still ask this question to all of our guests. And that question
is marriage worth it?
Yes, to a certain extent.
Alrighty. There you have it. It is a yes to a certain extent.
Yes.
You can follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Marriage Worth It. You can also email us at marriageworthit@gmail.com.
I'm Monique.
And I'm Janelle.
And this has been
Is Marriage Worth It?